or do you do it with desire, wanting? All this he discussed as sattvic, rajasic and tamasic area. Then he goes on to sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, tapa. And when he talks about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, tapa, he says there are three types of tapas when he talks about sattva, which is at the level of body, mind and vacha. Kayika, vachika, manasa. Level of the body, level of the speech and level of the mind. All these three, as he described, if you practice, it falls into sattvic tapas. Then rajas and tamasic tapas was mentioned. And then he talked about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, dhanu. So in sattvic dhanu, it is done as an obligation. Obligation here means you clearly understand that every jiva in this universe merely do what ought to be done with no expectation whatsoever in return. That kind of functioning, that is dhana. It's not like you go and do some dhana, right? Your very attitude is dhana. Whatever you do in the spirit of spoke, meaning you remain a spoke in the wheel of life and then you function. That is how a sattvic person lives. Entire life is a dhana. Meaning zero is zero, ego is zero or minimum. In the case of rajasic fellow, it's a business. He does dhanu to get something in
return.
So, and then in the case of tamas, which he describes in the 22nd verse which we saw last, he says, gift given at a wrong place and time to unworthy recipients without respect. Even that is done without respect. There is no intellect exercised in giving. And more than giving, you insult the person for taking, you know. So that is declared as tamasic. Now, from 23rd till the end, he introduces Om Tat Sat, which is considered as a designation of Brahman. How the people who aspire to reach Brahman use these three when they perform yajna, dana, tapa. And why do they use these three? And what is that they achieve by using these three is all discussed in this portion from verse 23 to 28. How the seekers of liberation use O, Tat, Sat. So if you wish to seek liberation, basically what it means is by usage of these three, O, Tat, Sat or any one of them, while doing yajna, dana, tapa, your actions become purified. That is the idea. Because you do the action with spiritual awareness, with the awareness of the self within. And thus your actions get purified. And when the actions get purified of vasanas, you reach the self. Verse number 23. Threefold designation of Brahman. Strictly speaking, Brahman has no designation, nothing. It is just a way of putting it. Om Tat Sat has been considered the threefold designation of Brahman, from which arose Brahmanas, Vedas and sacrifice of the yoga. Brahmanas, Vedas and Yajna. So what he is saying here is, Om, as you know, is the sound symbol which is pranava. It is the life-limiting force that pervades life. It is that which protects life. Without pranava, life itself is not possible. So Om is the sound symbol that represents Brahman, which is the pranava mantra, which is indicating that it is the source of all life. It is the consciousness that enlivens all life. Today we think life is possible because of the breath. But the very breath is dependent on that Brahman. That is what Om is. Om is that which protects life. And tat meaning that. That meaning it is even beyond intellect. It is beyond all conception. It is impossible to conceive it. It is beyond all knowledge. It is that knowledge with which you become, with which you know everything. And it is not possible to be known. That's why it is tat. It is beyond knowing. It is the knower, the knowing principle in you. That is what the word tat means. And sat, sat means ever existing, eternal. It is that which always exists. Whether or not you perceive it, it always exists. Similarly, this world, even though you perceive, it doesn't exist. This world is asat, whereas Brahman is sat. Om Tat Sat has been considered the threefold designation of Brahman. Now, from which arose Brahmanas, Vedas and sacrifices of yoga. Now here, you need to understand, he is talking about creation, meaning the entire creation has risen from the Brahman. And Brahmaji is supposed to have created this world from Brahman. From that Brahman, this world has emerged. And then he says, of the things that emerged, he specifically mentions three. Brahmanas, Vedas and Yajnas.
Why not the Upanishads and the Aranyakas?
What?
Sorry. So Om Tat Sat relates to, in this verse, relates to the Brahmanas and the
Vedas. Om Tat Sat is the designation of Brahman. From that all these three rose, he says.
Why
but from Brahman only everything rose. But these three are purified forms. I'll explain.
But why not Upanishad?
Upanishad is part of Vedas. Upanishad
is Veda.
Arose from Vedas.
When he talks about Veda, obviously Upanishad is the last
thing.
So Sat means eternal. Tat means inconceivable, incomprehensible. And Om is the protector of life, the consciousness. So eternal, incomprehensible, protector of life, the consciousness that pervades this entire universe is the complete meaning of Om Tat Sat. And he says the origin of Brahmanas, Vedas and Yajna. Now Brahman is the pure consciousness. From that he says Brahman. It doesn't mean that he is not talking about Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, he is not getting to all that. What he is saying here is Brahmanas are those who protect the Vedas by imbibing the knowledge of Vedas and living it and propagating it. So anybody who does it, they are considered as Brahmanas. Not the one who is born to a Brahmana by birth. Not in that sense. So Vedas meaning knowledge. And every action springs from knowledge, and the highest action is considered the yajna, the sacrificial action, that is from knowledge. So therefore, he emphasizes knowledge from which these type of activities come, and Brahmanas are those who adhere to these kind of activities, yajna. And therefore, he says all these three have emerged from Brahman. See, any action emerges from knowledge. The highest action is yajna, which helps you to unite back to the origin by destroying the vasanas. So, yajna means sacrificial action. Action done in the spirit of renunciation, which destroys the vasanas and takes you to the realization. And that is done with the knowledge of Vedas. And Brahmanas are those who do it and exhaust the vasanas. So he says all these three has risen from Om Tat Sat. He emphasizes of this designation Om Tat Sat in verse number 23. And then from now on he is going to say, always before doing yajna dana tapa, is Om Tat Sat is entirely chanted, or either Om or Sat is chanted. You see in Bhagavad Gita, in the end also we keep chanting Om Tat Sat, it is Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad. So that Om Tat Sat, chanting Om before and in the end, indicative of that dedication for the higher, done with the awareness which purifies the action and takes you back to the origin. Next verse.
But then again it's recovered.
It's recovered, yeah. So therefore, acts of sacrifice, gift and austerity, yajna, dana, tapa, as enjoined in the scriptures, are begun by students of Brahman always uttering Om. It says yajna, dana, tapa. The students of Brahman, those who aspire to reach Brahman, those who understand that the very purpose of life is to exhaust vasanas and realize the self, they are called the students of Brahman. Those who like to walk in the path of Brahman called Brahmacharis, they all do yajna, dana, tapa. So their life will have all these three, yajna, dana, tapa. In the next chapter, Krishna is going to say that yajna, dana, tapa should not be given up. When he talks about renunciation, it should not be given up. So the students of Vedanta, students of Brahman, those who understand the very purpose of life, they always perform yajna, dana, tapa. And how do they perform? As enjoined in the scriptures, they begin with uttering O. Now when he says begin with uttering O, it's either O, Artat, or Om Tat Sat. Meaning what? Before, during and after the performance of Yajna Dana Tapa, they always remember Brahman. Why this action is done? To reach Brahman. Who is doing it? Brahman. Always remembering, it is not done for any other purpose. You understand? So therefore he says, Om is uttered before. Because by uttering Om, your rajasic and tamasic actions also get purified and become sattvic. That is why you see in this country, even some people who go to steal, before going to steal they practice puja. Right? Awareness. And slowly, slowly when the awareness mixes up with your action, the action gets purified. We always emphasize that negative only develops in darkness. It cannot be developed in light. The moment negative film roll is exposed to light, it cannot be developed anymore. Similarly, the negativity is in you automatically get purified once you expose yourself to this ultimate. And therefore in Vedanta, we don't call anybody a sinner. Maurice Magdalene says, happy and blessed are is when wickedness stands forth revealed as goodness bereft of a guide. So when the person is exposed to knowledge, the person is exposed to the higher, slowly, slowly all the negativities go away. So therefore he says, all the students of Brahman, what they do is they utter Om, not mechanically with Shraddha. It is done with utterance of Om. No action is done without utterance of Om. It is not possible for you to do any action without the support of Brahman. You understand? That's why we say, In Tamil, in one of the scriptures, they say, Avana Rulale Avantal Vadini. Tal means feet. So, falling at the feet of Brahman, that is also by his grace. By his grace, one falls at the feet of him. That's what it means. It is not possible to do any action without the grace of Brahman. Always understanding the hand of divinity, which is far superior compared to us. That devotion is what is emphasized. When he says, Atri Om, not mechanically Atri Om, Om, and then they start, no. Atri Om means they clearly understand the insignificance of their role or their ego. And significance of Brahma. That is why in the 18th chapter, 66th verse, which is considered the technically last verse of Gita, he says, Sarva Dharma Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Amtva Sarva Papyevyaha Moksha Ishyami Mahasuchala. I will give you moksha. So, in other words, you clearly understand the insignificance of the ego. Every now and then, all these calamities and all that comes and remains, you know, that you are nothing. With all the powers that you have, with the use of science, human being is still nothing compared to the power of nature. So that devotion, that is Shraddha. And this, all this is indicating the Shraddha only. So it is that the utter Om means what? Ego is burnt in the fire of Om. That's what it means. They do yajna dana tapa after burning the ego in the fire of Om. That's the idea. So it is that Brahman that runs through the sap of all perceptions, everything, you know, action, emotion, whatever you may do through the body, mind, intellect, it is that Om that makes it possible. And that is the ultimate goal that one needs to get to. So why is Yajna Dana Tapa is done? To get to that spiritual goal. So he says, the students of Brahman, Brahmacharis, Brahmavadinam, they perform all actions remembering Brahma. Before, during and after any action. So even with reference to that practice, they become detached. They're not only detached to the world, they are detached to even the practice. This practice also is done to get to Brahma only. Even in that practice, they don't get attached. So therefore, the acts of sacrifice, gift and austerity as enjoined in the scriptures are begun by the students of Brahman always uttering Om. See, sometimes what happens when we perform action, the beginning is propelled by desires. We want to achieve something worldly. Here the interest is not that. They keep reminding themselves, why am I eating to get to Brahma? Why am I doing this not for name fame? It's to realize Brahma. See, remember this, spiritual arithmetic is different from worldly arithmetic. In worldly arithmetic, you are considered successful when you keep on adding things to you. In spiritual arithmetic, you are considered successful when you keep on
subtracting.
You understand? The ego has to completely get sublimated and you get transformed to the self. And therefore, this Yajna Dana Tapa is done uttering Om for that subtraction purpose, not for addition. And that is why he says the student of Brahman always uttering Om. They keep remembering 24/7, 365 days. So they utilize the body, mind, intellect, everything for that purpose only, not for any other purpose. Next.
Adityanam.
desiring moksha. He says, without aiming fruit, various acts of sacrifice, austerity and gift are performed by the seekers for liberation, for tapa. This is a very interesting verse. He is calling them as moksha kamshibhi. They only desire liberation, nothing else. And why do they do all this? To reach tapa, which is beyond all. That's the only purpose. I'm not interested in any of this worldly things. Whatever comes, I accept as prasad, but I'm not going to get caught in those things until I attain moksha. So even to the concept of moksha, they don't get attached. See, you won't fall off to sleep. You prepare the room, prepare the bed, you prepare everything, you go and lie down. But if you are terribly attached to sleep, you can't sleep. I can't sleep. The thought of sleep is so much there, so attached. Can you fall off to sleep? You can't. Even the thought of sleep you must surrender. So it is without aiming at fruit. Worldly fruits and also liberation fruit. Though the goal is liberation, they are not attached to that. They leave it to that. You understand? See, you can do everything, but when you actually fall asleep, it's not in your hands. You are terribly attached to the falling asleep, you cannot fall asleep. So they don't pursue any selfish material pursuit. They only pursue spiritual goal. Even to that goal they are not attached. So without aiming at fruit. See, that's why I said spiritual arithmetic is completely different. The arithmetic of love is completely different. In love, you become victorious by losing. Willingly you lose to your children. You play the game with them. You understand? In lust, you dominate and win and yet you remain very lost. That is lust. So the spiritual bhakti is clearly mentioned here without aiming at fruit. Various acts of yajna, dhana, tapa are performed by the seekers. Why do they do it? For liberation. How do they do it? Without any attachment to that food also. Swamiji gives a very interesting story. There were two sages, A, sage B, sage A. Two sages, A and B, were meditating on the Himalayas. And Narada Muni, when he had come from heaven, visiting the world, while going back to heaven, he meets Vishnu. And says, I'm going back to heaven and returning back again after some time. Would you like to know anything from Mahavishnu? So both of them say, please find out how many more janmas we have to realize ourselves. So he goes and comes back and he's been told that sage A is liberating this janma. Sage B will take many more janmas. So he comes but says Ulta. Sage A, who is supposed to realize this janma, he says, you know, you see that tamarind tree there, the number of leaves that are there, those will be janmas you have to realize yourself. He tells it to Sage A, who is going to liberate in this janma. And he says, oh, very good, very good, happy. At least now it has come to finite count, is what he says. Sage B, who actually has many, many more janmas, he tells him that you are liberating now in this janma. And he said, oh, this janma, then let me go and enjoy the world and come back. You understand? So why this story is mentioned is, when a person is really a seeker, when he is really a seeker, he is not bothered when the liberation comes. He puts himself in the struggle. That's it. That's why Swamiji says in Vedantakirti's book, your motto in life should be to strive, to struggle, not to succeed. To strive, to struggle, not to succeed. Not to succeed doesn't mean you quote failure. Not to succeed means you don't even worry about success or failure. You just remain in the struggle. That is the shishya. And that is what you need to understand when he says, without aiming at the fruit. I am sitting in the flight, You know, in the airline parlance, that's what they say. Which is the flight that's going to London, which is the flight that's going to New York, they say, that's London, that's New York. But that's not London. You sit in the flight, it's as good as you reach London. But sitting in the flight, you'll get there. But you thinking about it, your focus, the action drifts, and you don't get there. So he says, without aiming the worldly results or even the spiritual results, they simply give themselves to liberation. That's it. Whenever it happens, let it happen. Lay dry on it, no conditions. Says the poem, Olive Tree. That is devotion. There's a poem called Olive Tree. The two guys who were interested in doing puja to God, they needed olive oil for the midnight prayers. So they said, instead of, you know, going on, depending on the shops, let us plant olive saplings. Both fellow. One fellow is constantly asking, give me this, give me that, give me sunshine, give sunrise, or whatever, everything he is asking, and as venison he gave. Yet his olive tree died. So he goes to see whether the other fellow's olive tree is thriving. And other fellow's olive tree is thriving very well. She says, how is it my brother, tell your olive tree is thriving while mine is gone? He says, I left it to him. He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me. Lay there and in no conditions. Meaning what he did, whenever he needed to give water to the tree he gave, whenever he needed to keep it in the shade he kept, whenever he needed to keep it in the sunlight he kept, everything he did, but no conditions. Simply being spoke in the wheel of life. That is the spirit. So he says, they chant, oh, and do the actions. And why do they do it? To reach the heart. That is their only purpose. They are not interested in anything else. And that also without aiming any fruit. Whatever is given in the world, thus functioning, they accept as prasad. They simply do it with yajna-dana tapa, with this kind of spirit, and which is called as bhakti or devotion. Exactly the same attitude of the sage. Now sometimes they want us to start Gita class. They say, oh, okay, if you go verse by verse, how many years will it take to complete Gita? If you do one class in a week, then you know they are not really ready for the class. A Gita student, he will not ask the question. Okay, I am plunging in. It may take 5 years, it may take 3 years, it may take 7 years. It doesn't matter. Even this class, I don't know how many years ago we started. It's going on. It'll take. Every class when I come, I am not coming prepared to complete or not complete the chapter. You just continue. Right? So you just do justice to the action. Leave the rest to the totality. So he says, without aiming the fruit, various acts of sacrifice, austerity and gift are performed by the seekers of liberation. As an instrument. They simply do it as an instrument. They give. They are not thinking that they are giving. The totality is giving through them. Everything in this totality is functioning in the spirit of yajna. So they also function in the spirit of yajna. There is no condition. There is no motive. That is basically the difference between human and the animals. No? Animals have no motive. Their eating food is not brain centric. Our eating food is brain centric, that's why it's gluttony. Eating food is not sin or virtue, but gluttony is a sin. It is brain centric. Understand? We keep saying in our classes, food should either be on the plate or on the plate. It should never be in your
mind.
Brain. Mind. The center is shifted to the brain, the mind. That is the problem. And that never happens in animals, in plants. You understand? They simply function. Similarly, he also simply functions, performing yajna and all in the spirit of giving dhanam. And there is tremendous tapas, austerity. For what purpose he does this? To get to that Brahman, Nothing else is interested. And that is the real shraddha. It is not doing yajna dana tapa. Some people may do yajna dana tapa, but this feeling is missing. When this feeling is missing, then it is not spiritual. That's all he is saying here in this chapter. A lot of things are being done, but that feeling is not there. See, it's very interesting. When you understand this, then you do not, like I have always mentioned the story of Karna. Whenever he gave, he didn't want his hand to be above the person who is taking. So he offered it and they took it. Their hand was above. That should be the spirit with which you do this. Otherwise it turns mechanical. You understand? Now the government has announced some 2% of your profit should be given for CSR. Now mechanically you can start doing it. That's not it. You must understand and do it with that spirit. That's the whole idea. So without aiming a fruit, various acts of sacrifice, austerity and gift are performed. Meaning what? Without aiming, mind will aim fruit. Please remember this. Your mind, my mind. So he removes the mind. His mind is under the control of intellect which is exposed to the knowledge. So with that knowledge, the intellect removes the mind, then he does the action with no interest in fruit. तेरा तुझको अर्पण क्या लागे
मेरा
That's the thing. So you have this opportunity to give, simply given more. Everything in this universe functions like that, no? Only human being is different. Only you want recognition. No animal, no tiger is doing for recognition. No tiger will say, आज मन नहीं है. Man nahi hai, I don't want to go for hunting. It doesn't function on man. Isn't it? And simply does as an instrument in the hands of totality. So all that he's saying is he does it without aiming at fruit. He does it for the purpose of liberation, but if you want to get that liberation, how do you have to function? Like Swami Ramakrishna says, the way to gain anything is to lose it. So that's why I said spiritual arithmetic is subtraction. Worldly arithmetic is addition. Next. Verse 26 and 27 chanted together. Completed Om, completed Tat. Now he is talking about Sat. Sat, this is used in the sense of reality. He is giving various explanations to Sat here. So first one is, Sat is used in the sense of reality, a sense, existence principle. And it is also used in the sense of goodness, good conduct. And also the word sat is used as an auspicious act. Any auspicious act, meaning any action that aims in purification of the individual vasanas. And that is called sat. So sat in the sense of reality, in the sense of goodness, also in the sense of auspicious act. Auspicious act means what? We think certain actions are auspicious and certain actions are not auspicious. Any action that results in the exhaustion of vasana is called auspicious. That's all. You understand?
That's such an interesting
question. Yeah, any action that results in the exhaustion of Atma is auspicious. Sat. And Sat also is being steadfast in Yajna Dhamma Tapa. And nothing else is Sat. The real Sat is not only doing Yajna Dhamma Tapa mechanically once in a while. See, like I told you before in the classes, this Yajna Dhamma Tapa should be part and parcel of your life. It's not that only one few days, a few months or few hours you do this. You know, the 9 days of Navratra, you are doing a lot of dana. And the rest of life is just amassing so that 9 days you can give. That's not the idea. You understand? That 9 days of practice should become your lifestyle. Remember this. That's all he is saying. He is interested not in action. He is interested in the lifestyle. Spiritual lifestyle. So he says steadfastness in sacrifice, austerity and gift. Yajna Dhana Tapa. Being steadfast, that is also called as Sat. And any action that is done for liberation is also called as Sat. He is not interested in anything else. He is only interested in the existence principle, Sat. The whole idea is to become independent, not to become dependent. Sat means independent. So he says, Sadbhave, Sadubhave cha, Saditye tat prayujyate. This is used in the sense of reality, goodness. So, he gives 5 definitions if you see for Sat. Reality, goodness, auspicious act, steadfastness in Yajna Dhamma Tapa, and then any actions done to reach the self, liberation. All these 5 is called Sat. So, Om, Tat, Sat. Why is it called the designation of Brahman? Because their ego is zero. Only existence principle is there, nothing else. You understand? So nobility, goodness is meant by Sat. Dharma, Sat means Dharma. Any auspicious act, and Sat also means a reality, the essence, not the superficial manifestation. And then he says, being consistent in the pursuit of Yajna Dhamma Tapa. And whatever field you may take, unless you are consistent in it, you are successful. That's why Swamiji talks about 3 seeds of success. And one of the seeds he mentions is consistency. The 3 seeds...
What are the other 2?
Yeah, I'm coming to that. Concentration, consistency and cooperation. So you can take up activity for spirituality, but consistency. Huh?
Consistency, concentration and?
Cooperative endeavor. When your intellect keeps your mind in the present action, without allowing it to slip into the past worries and future anxieties, it is called concentration. I repeat, when your intellect keeps your mind in the present action without allowing it to slip into the past worries and future anxieties, it is called concentration. When your mind by itself goes to the action, it is not concentration. You may like something, therefore it's going. Somebody is watching cricket from morning till night because he likes cricket, because he is concentrated. Somebody who likes a girl, all the time he's thinking about the girl because he's concentrated. Whether or not you like, it is something that needs to be done. The intellect keeps the mind in the present action without allowing it to slip into the past and future. It is called concentration. Then what is consistency? when your intellect keeps all your actions towards the chosen goal, bodily, emotional, intellectual, all actions are directed towards the chosen goal, it's called consistency. When your intellect keeps all your actions in the chosen direction, it's called consistency. And no success is possible without cooperation from others. Therefore, you humble your ego and cooperate with others, by which you receive cooperation from others. So intellect controlling ego, all three are intellect playing role. You understand? Intellect has a role in all these three: concentration, consistency and cooperation. Control and direction of mind and ego with the intellect. So he says, it's not enough if you do these kind of activities, but these kind of activities you do steadfastly, consistently, without any other fruit, simply doing it as an act of goodness, not expecting anything from it, only the idea of purifying the vasanas. And why it is done? To get back to, and that is all the seekers of Brahman do. They are not interested in anything else. Yajna, dhana, tapa. That's all they are interested in. See, we all have the concept that certain actions are good. Satkarya. This is asatkarya. There is no such thing as satkarya or asatkarya. In fact, Arjuna started this one, they are good people, noble people. How can I kill them? Bhishma, Drona, they are noble people. How can I kill them? Then he thought it will be bad karma. See, when a tiger is killing another animal, is it incurring any bad karma? Why it is not incurring any bad karma? Because there is no kartrutva, doership, motive. It's not coming from motive. It's not coming from the mind. It is hungry, simply kill the animal. That's its nature. The nature is expressed. You understand? Whereas if you do it with motive, then you are incurring sin. So goodness, what is goodness? When your presence is not known. You are doing the actions, the presence is not known. There is no prefix, no suffix. You simply do and get up. That's it. Isn't it? Just being the spoke in the wheel of Dharma. There are so many things going on. You don't think that you are a savior, nor do you think you are destroyed. There is no motive to save anybody. There is no motive to destroy anybody. Simply do what is to be done and leave. When a tiger is chasing a deer, if you try to save that deer, then you are denying the tiger the food of food it deserves. If you try to take the side of the tiger, then you are not taking the side of deer. But nature is like, you understand? So neither interest to save, nor interest to destroy. Simply being the spoke in the wheel of life. Doing your actions. Sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. And he keeps on saying sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? The word sacrifice needs to be understood. Sacrificing the ego. That's all it means. A person is generally very dynamic when he talks, all the time talking. But you put him on the podium, he's not able to talk. He fumbles. Why? Because he becomes self-conscious. And that is not there in the case of animals. It is there. But separate feeling is not there, no. In the case of human being, it's that. That is what he means by saying yajna. Everything in this universe is doing in that spirit. Except human beings. Somewhere we want to know, somebody has noticed it or not. I'm practicing mantra. Are they noticing? And the whole thing is gone. Whether they notice, they don't notice, doesn't matter. But that ego is there, they must notice. Then it's not done in the spirit of the ego. So you must understand what is the meaning by sacrifice. Sacrificing the ego.
I have a very stupid question. Like when you see a lot of birds.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about the animal kingdom and the ego don't have the mind. So you see a lot of birds and there's some grain and all lying. So they're trying to eat the grain, right? So I've actually seen some parakeets. They pick the grain and the parakeet could then hurt him.
That's why at that moment they are functioning in the spirit of instinct. That's it.
So things like that, they are pushing their other person.
Exactly like how children function. They are not, with motive they are not doing. Like how the business, the bigger fish is trying to eliminate the smaller fish, planning, scheming. They are not doing like that. When they are hungry, dogs do the same thing.
Yeah, they are fighting all the time.
When the food is there, they are simply expressing the nature. There is no sin there. There is no motive. You understand? That motive is all we are talking about. See, well, anything it could be. It's part of nature, that's all. Their nature is expressing. When the dog is hungry, it will do. You understand? That's it.
It's not.
Afterwards, they both are faint. But when the food is given, they both hungry, they're fighting. They're functioning on pure instinct. There is no ego, there is no motive.
No pre-calculation.
And that is the problem with human beings. That's why we made this whole world into as if only human beings exist, nothing else. The whole world has been made into a human world. And that's the reason now the whole thing is getting destroyed slowly. So that is not there for a person who is doing yajna. Yajna is not only understood as spiritual rituals. Not that, oh, I'm doing yajna. What? I'm doing rituals every day at home. And I'm doing dana. Today, this, I'm doing. Tomorrow, that. Every day there is something or other I'm giving. That's not what it's meaning. You understand? Yajna means offering of the ego and the kindling of Brahman. That is what the fire worship also symbolizes. Nothing else. I'm being consistent in it. And if you are consistent in it, then you exhaust your vastness. It's a committed lifestyle, that's all it's trying to say. A student of Brahman practices a committed lifestyle. And anybody who's given into a committed lifestyle may slip. But that slip, he will not fall like a lead plate, he will fall like a rubber ball.
Rise up again.
See, spirituality is a committed lifestyle, please understand. And it is not actions. If this will help me to get back to Brahman, I will do it. That's it. It's a commitment, that's what he is talking about. And also any other activity that will promote yajna dana tapa. By supposing you going to meet somebody will help you in becoming more consistent in performing yajna dana tapa. Those also will become sattva. So a lot of times when people ask, why are we all talking about going to ashram, going to these retreats? Is it just to have fun? In fact, in Delhi, you know, when students are taken for retreats, slowly, they want to go to different places. In the same place, they are all seeing that. Yet, you are not going to retreat for seeing places. And then they are trying to say, sir, let's go there, let's go here. If at all you try to go here or there, that place should be conducive for you to do this. Not because you have not seen that place.
It should be quiet.
Quiet? Conducive?
Yeah.
See? The same routine things you are doing in the world. 2 days, 3 days we take off, go there, so that it helps in the boost of our spiritual practice. That's what he's saying. Any other act that is supportive of enhancing yajna-dana-tapa in your life, those are also called as self. Understand? See, directly eating food. Why certain types of food is exercise, time of waking up. All these are exercise because they are indirectly helping you to increase your awareness and practice the yajna-dana-tapa. So, direct and indirect, both. Understand? So when he says satkaryam andadhi nadi, he says any action that will take you to liberation, indirect, both are considered as satkaryam. Meaning 24/7 is only thinking, that kind of focus is needed even if you want to succeed in the material field. Go in 5 different directions, you can't achieve anything. You understand? And that's what he's saying, in the spiritual field also, he's absolutely committed and direct and indirect practices. By doing this, it will help me. Okay, reading these books will help me in increasing my awareness. Then I'll do that. Otherwise, what is the use? What is the purpose? There is no use. So in the academy also, sometimes, you know, people get involved. See, we have yoga, we have sports facilities in here. Probably the only ashram or few ashrams which have sports facilities. You understand? A jogging track, a volleyball court, basketball court, gymnasium, cricket ground, badminton court, all this is there. So what happens when the youngsters, they get involved. You know, every now and then Swamiji keeps on reminding, I will not come here for that purpose. But those are for what? To help you in getting back to Brahman. Understand? Sports and all that goes, helps you in exercising. And healthy body is extremely important in spiritual practice. But not getting involved in that. Sir, let's not have class today, let's have aggregate much, you know. that's not the idea. So, direct and indirect, both. That is what he is saying here. Next, last verse. Verse 28. Whatever is sacrificed, given or done, and whatever austerity is practiced without shraddha, without faith, without dedication, without Om Tat Sat, is called asat. Such an action will not get him anything here or hereafter. Which is not here or hereafter, upata. Neither in the material world nor in the spiritual world. That's what he said. Neither in this janma nor in future. Whatever yajna dana tapa. So it's not yajna, performance of yajna dana tapa. That is important. Shraddha is, because what was the question Arjuna asked in the beginning? Beginning of this chapter, Arjuna asked a question. What is that? Everybody may be doing, some people may be doing these yajna dana tapa, these things, but not in line with spiritual injunctions. You forgot the whole thought flow. 16th chapter end, he said, therefore shastram pramanam. Therefore you must keep shastra, scriptures as the pramanam, ultimately. Now he is asking in 17th chapter, those who are doing, but not in accordance with the scriptural injunction. What kind of Shraddha? Here he is saying, if it is with scriptural injunctions, then this Om Tat Sat will be there. You understand? If it is not with scriptural injunction, then this Om Tat Sat will not be there. There will be just doing Yajna Dana Tapa, but there is no Shraddha there. Therefore, it is not spiritual.
The question is, those who worship casting aside the scriptural ordinance, endowed with Shraddha. So they have Shraddha.
But that is not Shraddha, that's what he said. That if this Om Tat Sat is not there, it's not Shraddha.
If that is not there, sir, but his question is that they have Shraddha, but
he is saying, endowed with Shraddha. Endowed with Shraddha, what is it is what he is asking. But that Shraddha is not real Shraddha if it is not there.
It is not Om Tat Sat.
For this purpose, it is clear understanding. See, he is not talking about having the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Oh, if you are not studying Bhagavad Gita and then you are doing Yajna Dana Tapa, it is waste. He is not saying that. That spirit of Bhagavad Gita, what is it? That Om Tat Sat that we discussed. You may not be educated in Gita at all. You understand? But if you have the spirit, then you have it's with Shraddha. Otherwise it is Ashraddha. So without Shraddha, if you do hutam, sacrifice, any hutam, any you offer anything in the fire, no Shraddha mechanically. He says it will not help you here nor hereafter. Whether it is austerity or yajna or dana. See, the mind has to be there. The yoga means integration. Integration of your mind, body and intellect in line with the atma. That's called yoga. If everything is disintegrated, mechanically you are chanting, a mind is somewhere else, you understand? Then it is not spiritual. In thought, word and deed, it has to be congruent, in line. So if it is not that, then it is asat. So what is sat?
What is sat?
Unification of body, mind, intellect in line with atma. That is sat. If this is there, then it is in accordance with scripture. In accordance with scripture doesn't mean anything that you quote. Vedas, verse number 22 is saying like this. Verse number 45 is saying that. No. If it is congruent, then it is sat. If not, it is asat. That's all he's saying. So neither in the, even in the material world, a person who is doing this kind of congruent action, he will only be here, means in this world. Hereafter means spiritual world, liberation. Neither here nor hereafter. Or neither here means in the present life, nor hereafter means in future incarnations. Whichever way you want to take it. In the book, Swamiji has taken here and hereafter to mean present and future lives. Also it means in the worldly and spiritual. Without Shraddha. That's why he says, Shraddha vaan labhate jnana, Shraddha will be created. It's a full commitment. It should be committed life. Oh, I believe in it. I believe what Krishna said will help me. I believe in Krishna. But no committed lifestyle. Will it get you there? You believe in Bhagavad Gita, but there is no committed lifestyle. No, you will not get it. That's what he is trying to say. You understand? If the committed lifestyle is not there, it is asat. If the committed lifestyle is there, then it is sat. As simple as that. So if you see this here and hereafter, as here means now, in this world. In this world also you need commitment. One day you go to office, 2 days you don't go. It will not work. That's why the 9th chapter verse 22 we already said, Ananya Chinta. No other thought. Absolute commitment. You won the Wimbledon. The next tournament you have to get ready. You celebrate and then that's it. You keep moving. Keep on in the practice. So that sort of committed lifestyle only will get you there. Liberation. Simply because you read a book and did something here and there. I mean, the lifestyle should become spiritual. That is called Shraddha. You remember that story I always give whenever I talk about Shraddha, an old lady coming with umbrella. Umbrella was brought to the kingdom. There was no rain. And somebody told that you conduct yajna to the king, the rain will come. And the priest said, I'll conduct yajna, provided I see one faithful heart on that day. Only then I'll start. Everybody assembled, including the king, he is not starting. He's waiting for the committed person. And one old lady walks in with an umbrella. That is called commitment. Full commitment. And such a person is performing sat. All other actions are asat. Verse number 1 together to tell ourselves that we just started the chapter, not concluded. Arjuna Vacha, Arjuna Vacha, Yeshastra Vidhi Mrutsrajya, Yeshastra Vidhi Mrutsrajya, Yajante Shraddha Yanvitaha, Yajante Shraddha Yanvitaha, Tesham Nishtatuka Krishna, Tesham Nishtatuka Krishna, Sattvamaho Rajastamaha, Sattvamaho Rajastamaha. Now, we'll see the summary of this chapter 17 next week. Then after that, let's go to 18th chapter next week. So next week, we'll do the summary of chapter 17. 18 is actually the summary of the entire Gita. 18 was chapter 2 and chapter 18, both are summary of Gita. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Kayena Vacha Manasendriyeva Buddhyatmanava Buddhyatmanava Prakriteshwabhavat Karomiyadhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Hariyom.